College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Hello and welcome. I am your host, JP John Paz from the two-man power trip of wrestling. Of course, joining me is the former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing excellent. How about you, JP?
Doing good, doing good. Feeling a lot better. The eyes are getting better. I know you're used to having some eye issues, but the eyes are finally better.
Yeah.
Now, as far as WB right now, I just wanted to kind of get your take on what's going on over there. I mean, they're still doing pretty good ratings-wise. Obviously, NXT just landed on CW, so there's more rights deals and more money that they're going to be making for the company. But what do you think about the Roman Reigns title reign? Do you think it's gone on too far? What do you think about it?
I believe they're going to go all the way to WrestleMania 40 to break Backlund's record, because I got to watch the pay-per-view because I was in Salt Lake City last week. It came on early. And I actually thought they may put the belt on LA Knight just as a transitional and have Cody beat him and then go into WrestleMania 01, you know, Cody is the champion. But that didn't happen. Their roster is stacked. And that Jake Paul.
Logan Paul, yep.
Logan Paul, when he blocked Race 619, I was shocked. It was a thing of beauty. And then he strong enough to save Ray from getting hurt real bad.
Yeah, that was very savvy, very, very veteran-like maneuver of him to kind of save Ray from breaking his neck. That was scary.
Yeah, kudos to him. He's an athlete.
So you were expecting LA Knight to win, or you wanted LA Knight to win?
Well, I thought maybe they would just, because being in Saudi, giving a different look to come back to WrestleMania. I just, because you have heard all the rumblings of him holding the belt so long. And the other thing is, I know they're trying to save LA Knight, you know, the foot on the rope. It looked like it was late, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But when does it really hurt the champion to lose? I mean, the challenge to lose to Roman Reigns. We're falling into patterns now. Everybody's coming down to help Roman, right? I believe he needs a clean win. Who do you see him wrestling next?
I heard that AJ Styles is on his way back, and that would be his next match. But it's interesting. I almost hope it's like a returning CM Punk. I don't. They need like an infusion of somebody different or something new for Roman to do and for Roman to conquer.
That would be a great, great match.
So you think they're falling into the old NWO pattern where it's just like the same finish every time?
Yeah, well, that's just my opinion. And I understand what they're trying to do, keep every babyface strong. But Roman's a talent that comes along once in a lifetime, like The Rock, Hogan, Stone Cold. I mean, I just didn't see the need for the foot on the rope.
A lot of complaints I saw from people saying like, oh, LA Knight should have won, or this title run should be over. It's too long. Do you think it's too long or no?
No, I don't think it's too long. I mean, you know, I've mentioned this before, boxing, right? At the end, I think Ali's seven last fights before he got destroyed by Holmes and Burbank, he never had a knockout. And some of his wins were questionable. Especially the Ken Frazier fight, the third one. When you got something hot, it's hard to drop it, but I understand what they're trying to do to LA Knight. They don't want to destroy him, but sometimes when you have a guy that is a special talent, I think they may be hurting themselves not having Roman going over. After all, he is the world's champion. He gave him a hell of a match. Did we need that foot on the rope? Couldn't Roman put his foot on the rope himself.
Right. I agree.
I'm a big Roman Reigns fan, so maybe I'm delusional, but I don't think it would have hurt LA Knight. And the other thing is, let's see if that took anything away from LA Knight, because if it did, you going in with a guy that, and I'm not knocking him, I really like him, but he has no track record being on top. Wasn't there a building sold out?
Yep.
It's kind of hard to pull the plug when a guy is selling out his merchandise through the roof. They're obviously trying to get to WrestleMania. And I think the reason why they're taking their time with Roman and giving him a lot of time off, they're trying to make his matches special.
Yep.
But I think he should have won clean. And then you come back and give LA Knight a bunch of wins that he's pissed off of what happened, that he feels he got screwed. It would maybe put a little fire under him. He could even say to Roman, you know, I beat you. I mean, there's so many things you could do. But it's hard to pull the plug when you're selling out like you're doing.
My whole thing was, I thought Roman would get the nice clean win because they were pumping it up that LA Knight has never been in the main event before. So there almost could have been like a built-in excuse of it was like almost like a rookie. They are getting overwhelmed. He was like a rookie as far as being a main eventer was concerned in WWE. I mean, it's the biggest show. I thought maybe Roman get the clean win, and they kind of use that like, oh, he maybe the moment got to him, or and say now he's more prepared, or you know, maybe do a rematch or something. I was surprised that it wasn't a clean win, like you said.
There were so many things they could have done, but here's where I talk about patents. It's been working. Sometimes I believe you have to break that baton, and losing to Roman Reigns clean is not a... You could add a distraction where one of the Usos came down, he turned around to take a look, turns back, Roman gives him the spear without putting the foot on the rope.
Do you think that they're doing the same finish just to ensure that Roman Reigns will get booed and that people want the title to get off of him? Like, could that be a psychology or a plan? I know it might not be smart business-wise, but to just make sure that Cody is the number one babyface, that Roman will not get cheered, like people are going to be so tired of him as champion, they're dying for somebody to beat him?
Well, The Rock isn't out the window yet, right?
Right. Yep. Possibility. Yep.
He's going to get booed against The Rock. Mm-hmm. Now, Cody, I've noticed the fans stick up their finger. They cheer Roman. He's turning babyface by the people. I think if he had lost, he might become a babyface in L.A. Knight, might have become the heel. Maybe that's what they took into consideration.
What do you think about, like, Roman basically maybe not wrestling for the rest of the year? Is that bad? I mean, there's, you know, a month and a half, 2 months left in the year. He might not wrestle. Do you think that that's, you know, not good, that he might not be around?
I think he'll wrestle one more time. And if he does, AJ is a remarkable talent. They're going to have an incredible match. I just hope they don't do a screwed-up finish.
Would you have Roman lose at Mania, whether it be against Cody Rhodes or whoever? Would you have him lose at Mania, or would you keep it going to keep the streak of this title? Like, they want to beat Backlund's record, they want to beat Hogan's record. Would you keep that going just for numbers' sake, or would you actually have him drop the title at Mania?
For numbers' sake, doesn't really matter. I don't think. But he's the guy that's pulling the boat. Again, I've said, if it's not broke, don't fix it. You know, they're going to have to really... I noticed that Cody's working a lot of house shows. He's doing a lot of personal appearances. I'm wondering if they're thinking the same thing they thought with Luger.
Oh, maybe not give him the title?
Yeah.
That would not be good. No. He seems like the top babyface for them.
If we don't know their plans, maybe I counted Sokoa gave Cena 11 spikes.
Yep. Solo could be the guy, maybe. Who knows?
Maybe Solo against him. Maybe they have something planned with Sokoa and Roman.
Are you a big Solo guy? Did you like his destruction of John Cena at the pay-per-view?
I think John Cena is probably the most unselfish guy in the wrestling business. For him to do that, made it look like his last match.
Yeah.
I don't think he should go out that way on the Shield. I think John should be taken and used as a safety valve in case anything ever happens. You know that he drew.
When you look at Roman and obviously Cena and like where they're headed, just interesting. Like you said with Solo, you kind of throw his name in the bucket too. Maybe there's something for Solo and Roman, especially with his destruction of Cena there. So maybe Solo Roman, maybe it's somehow, some way in the future with Heyman in the middle.
I think it would be pretty easily. Now, the kid did what Roman asked him to do. And he just didn't do it one time. He gave him 11 spikes, and John laid there for a long time.
Yep.
And when he got up, he looked distraught.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised if they got something in their bag of tricks where Solo goes against Roman.
Yeah, I'm for it. I like it for sure. Now, just to button up something from last week, we were talking about Goldberg. Just a few things that I just wanted to quickly mention just to try to get your idea on it. So at one point in basically 1999-ish, he has a knee injury. He's out for a little bit, but he's also filming Universal Soldier, the movie. Towards the end of WCW in 2001, we were talking about WCW Sin. And his exit, he had a shoulder injury as well. So that kind of was going to put him on the shelf before WCW really went out of business. Was injuries a big problem with Goldberg? Was that something like you guys were worried about, concerned with? Because it seemed like, you know, he was taking it as if, you know, this is like football. I mean, he's hitting himself in the head with the lockers and doors. I mean, is injury ever a thought process with Goldberg?
I think once you get hurt really bad one time, there's a tendency to get hurt bad again. And I'm sure I wasn't there then, but I'm sure that that was taken into consideration.
When you were booking, was there any worry about him and injuries and stuff?
No, he hadn't gotten an injury until he lacerated his arm.
How about the Hollywood part? Was that a concern that he may leave you guys for Hollywood? Because I know it's a smaller role. I mean, he's like one of the villains in Universal Soldier: The Return. But is that ever a thought he might leave you for Hollywood?
I don't think he was going to be the next Rock, if that's what you're asking.
But so no fear. Like, I don't think he's going to be doing movies. You know, yeah, maybe little parts here, but nothing like where he's going to be leaving for extended periods of time.
No, he wasn't going to be headlining major movies.
Because in 99, he leaves for about a month and a half, almost 2 months to film Universal Soldier: The Return. I know it's a smaller part, but obviously if it's a bigger part, you got to be worried about him missing months at a time in big chunks.
Yeah, but they did have a contract with him. And they're lenient with letting him go, I believe. What are you going to do? He's hurt. There's a reason to be gone.
With Universal Soldier: The Return, Megadeth comes into play because their song Crush 'Em is one of the lead songs for that movie. And then Goldberg starts to use Crush 'Em, and Megadeth comes to WCW for a small bit. Do you remember in 99 the deal with Megadeth and Crush 'Em and using that? How did that all come about? Or was that like a Bischoff thing?
I'm sure that was an Eric thing.
You like that, bringing in rock and roll acts and making them a part of the show?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a crossover.
Do you think they're successful, those crossovers?
It depends who they are.
Because you guys did Megadeth, you did Kiss, you did Chad Brock, you did Master P and the No Limit Soldiers. Do you think any of those were successful for you?
No.
Why not?
It was a completely different audience. How many people that went to wrestling bought Kiss concert tickets?
Maybe not much.
Yeah, same thing with Chad, and I like him very much. But he was just starting. No, I didn't like if it was Willie Nelson, some icon from rock and roll world or country and western world. Yeah, I think it would have worked.
I love Megadeth and I love Kiss, but I feel like financially, I don't know. You know what I mean? If you bring him in, you pay him a certain dollar, man. I don't know if the ROI is going to quite be there on those bands.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And to use Crush 'Em, are you guys paying to use that? Because, I mean, it's going to be a part of the album and everything else. Are you guys paying for that?
JP, I'm not sure at all. That was Eric's deal. I'm sure Eric worked a fabulous deal to get the one.
All right, let's talk about the topic at hand. NWA Starrcade 1987, a.k.a. Chi-Town Heat, which was November 26, 1987, from Chicago, Illinois, at the UIC Pavilion. Over 8,000 in attendance. The tagline, Chi-Town Heat, Glory Bound. Pay-per-view buys, only 20,000. So not a great number as far as the pay-per-view buys were concerned. But there could be a reasonable excuse or reasonable reason for that. This is really the first NWA event to be broadcast live on pay-per-view. Of course, there was always going to be on closed circuit because they've done that before. But 100 different venues carried it and carried some other supercars that JCP had. But 20,000, I mean, that's pretty low, right, as far as the pay-per-views are concerned? I know it's the first one, but it's pretty low.
Well, the thing was, that belt was going to go to Jimmy Garvin until he got gout and could walk. And Jimmy, at the time, was much hotter than Ronnie.
Oh, so that's the reason. I was always curious why Ronnie won the title. I mean, I love Ronnie Garvin. I think those matches with Flair are awesome, and they're actually, you know, just really hard hitting, and they're great. But so I was curious why Ronnie won. So it was all because of Jimmy Garvin's injury.
Yes.
Also, though, to throw this out there, this is crazy of JCP. You tell me what you think. Survivor Series is the same night. Hogan's team versus Andre's team, the first ever Survivor Series, is going to be that same night. And they had 350,000 buys on pay-per-view for that. So they did 350K for Survivor Series. Is that kind of just one of those things where maybe you should pick a different night?
They gave you the nights way in advance. So I don't think they could have backed out and saved face.
Now, in another way, too, WB is kind of trying to take their night. I mean, Starrcade was always Thanksgiving, you know, around that time.
Right.
Like that tradition. So it seems like Survivor Series was, right? They were stealing. Vince was coming in on their date, in their territory.
Right, right. With a much stronger card.
Yes. What do you think about Vince doing that? Is that something that you think he was trying to hurt the business, trying to hurt JCP, or are you okay with it? Business is business.
Well, business is business. Vince was fighting for his life.
And your look at it, too. I mean, if you have Hogan and Andre on one side and then Flair and Garvin on the other, I mean, which one are you more interested in? You know what I mean? I mean, that's kind of an unfair one versus the other, right?
Right, right.
When Vince does that, and you know, you're not really on the outside. I mean, you're technically a part of JCP a bit here. Do you guys think of it like, oh, this is war? I can't believe Vince is doing this? Or, like, what's your reaction to this?
Business is business.
No hard feelings, huh?
Well, I'm sure there's hard feelings with other people, but business is business.
And you're not on this card, but where are you in 87? Because you are a part of Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling. You are a part of JCP towards the end of the year. You were working, obviously, CWF. You were working a ton in Florida. But where are you at this point?
Between Crockett and Florida.
And he's about to purchase Florida, because right before this show, he actually just purchased UWF, the Universal Wrestling Federation. So JCP is stocking up, and I don't know if that's a smart strategy business-wise to do that or not.
I'm not sure either.
Right, I mean, you're buying UWF for what? Do you really need to, or you just really just want their talent?
Well, I guess they just wanted their talent, but they were going out of business anyway.
Right. So wouldn't you just let them go out of business and then take the talent you want?
Well, that was Jimmy's call.
And he kind of does the same thing with Florida. Do you really think he needed to buy out Florida like that?
No.
What did you think of that when it happened? Did you think big mistake?
Well, he had taken all the guys from Florida and brought them to Charlotte. So they raped Florida for the talent that they had been seeing.
And you were booking Florida. Did you like kind of take something, you know, maybe a little bit personally there? Like, hey, you're raping all my talent here. Like, yeah, how am I supposed to book this stuff?
Well, I understood that they were going to buy it eventually. So there was nothing we could do. Florida office was hanging on by its teeth, and they wanted to sell it.
Did you have any say or
no? I had no percentage of business.
So basically, you will, you know, make a bunch of appearances for JCP. And even the day before Thanksgiving here, 11/25/87, Larry Zbysko defeated you in Nassau Coliseum, Uniondale, New York. So Long Island, the day before. How come you're not on Starcade?
Because I was in Jacksonville and we had a good house that night.
Do you think, like, oh, man, I'm working, you know, Jacksonville, I'm working Uniondale, New York, I'm working, you know, Florida, I'm working Long Island. Do you thinking like, man, I want to, you know, pay-per-view pay offer, you know, I want to be a part of that show, or you're just working and not even thinking about stuff like that?
I'm just working, not thinking about stuff like that. That'd drive you crazy.
Do you remember that match with Larry Zbysko at all?
Not much.
11,500 people in attendance, by the way, for that house show. So that, I mean, that's a pretty good house there for Long Island for an NWA card. And they're, you know, they're not really a Northeast company. I mean, that's WWE territory.
Yeah, they did a very good house.
What do you think about working in Zbysko?
I loved it. Larry's a fabulous performer.
How come Arn always calls him the Cigar Store Indian? Why does he do that?
I have no idea.
He said when they were tag partners, Arn's, you know, he obviously so sarcastic, so funny. He said Zbysko would do, you know, they're the enforcers, they're heels. You know, he said Zbysko would do so much stalling. He's like, you're literally just standing there like a Cigar Store Indian. I'm working and the Steiner brothers are, you know, throwing me around and you're just standing there stalling, doing all this stuff. So then he came up with the nickname Cigar Store Indian because he just stands there and doesn't move. And he was saying, he goes, Larry, you're so boring in these matches. You got to give the fans something. And, you know, he just wanted to get booed and booed and booed. And Larry's like, no, I'm working a different psychology here. So Arn's like, so I got to take all the bumps and you get to stand there? That was a great.
I would say.
Great team, though, Arn and Zbysko. Yeah, for sure.
Very good.
So they buy UWF, so UWF is kind of in this pay-per-view, and the UWF titles will be a part of this pay-per-view. Do you like that? I mean, is that necessary? Is that needed? What do you think about that?
No, it's confusing.
Because it's funny, we always say, like, now AEW has too many titles. If you look, sometimes NWA and some of these JCP shows had way too many titles on.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll come, the Western Heritage title will show up once in a while. I mean, just too many belts. Do you think that just dilutes the whole show and the whole program and all your belts?
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody had a belt.
Everybody has a belt. Nobody has a belt, right?
Yeah.
So looking at the card, obviously it's Starcade going head-to-head with Survivor Series. So the buy rate, like we mentioned, is going to be low. It's not going to be where we want it to be. The WWF is obviously, you know, the king here. Do you look at this card and just think like, okay, we just need a way for Flair to win back the title and put Flair back on top? I mean, is that just what the card is all about going in?
I think so. And I think they want to do it that anything could happen on a pay-per-view. I don't think many people gave Ronnie a chance to win that belt.
Definitely not. And I mean, I love those matches. Great for you. But if you go back, it's NWA Worldwide Wrestling on 9/25/87. Garvin wins the NWA title, beats Flair, holds the title only for 62 days, which we'll get into later, obviously, the main event. But only holds the title for 62 days. So it definitely seems like it's the transitional champion and Flair's going to beat whoever that guy who's the transitional champion is at Starcade, the big event, and that's what Crockett wants. That's what it seems like to me.
That's what it seems like to me also.
And I know Flair can have a good match with anybody, but him and Ronnie were having awesome matches. But like you mentioned about Jimmy Garvin, him and Jimmy Garvin were having awesome matches before Garvin got hurt.
Unbelievable matches.
What do you think about Jimmy, though? Like, what was it about him that was getting him over so much?
He was charismatic. Plus, he had Patty. He was a great performer. And he was a different type heel than we had.
Do you like him as a babyface?
Yeah, but I do like him better as a heel.
Definitely when he does that little hair thing, the little hair flip, whatever. Yeah, it just comes off like, oh, this guy is a cocky SOB. You like Ronnie Garvin as your top babyface?
Not as the top babyface, no, but right under.
What do you think about those chops that he lays in there?
Oh, wow. Glad it was Flair rather than me.
Hands of stone, right? I mean, man, they were laying them in.
Yeah.
So as far as the show is concerned, let's start it off. Eddie Gilbert, Larry Zbysko, and Rick Steiner with Baby Doll versus Jimmy Garvin, who's back after this little gout injury, I guess you could say, Michael P.S. Hayes, and Sting with Precious. This match goes to a 15-minute time limit draw. It's actually pretty good. Do you like starting off the show with a 15-minute time limit draw, though?
No.
Why not?
People come to see. Didn't the NFL get rid of ties?
No. They're back. So they've been back, yeah. College football, there's no ties, but NFL there is.
But it's only if you can't score an extra quarter.
Right, yeah, they give you the extra quarter, of course. Yeah, but you got to be able to score within 10 minutes. Yep.
Yeah.
So you're thinking this is just like a tie. This is just the lame way to start the show.
Yeah.
I wonder why. I know Sting, Hayes, and Garvin, obviously, a lot of this is UWF and Fusion, Eddie Gilbert as well. You got Ricky Steiner and Zbysko. I just wonder why no finish there.
Probably that. They didn't want to beat UWF.
Keep them strong?
Yeah.
Now, Dusty's booking here, but it's interesting that it seems like people are starting to get a little tired of Dusty's booking. Is that something that you've heard? Because obviously you're there somewhat at this point. Are you hearing that the guys are not happy with Dusty's booking at this point?
Yeah, but they wouldn't have gotten there without Dusty. So, and we all burn out. And no one can knock Dusty to me. As a booker. Yeah, I did take advantage sometimes, yeah. But he's the one that got him to the promised land. Starrcade was his idea.
Yep. Starrcade was his baby. Just an interesting side note about Starrcade here. Not available in all homes, like not available by all pay-per-view providers. WWF was actually available in more providers. That's got to be a little bit of issue, too, as far as buy rates are concerned. If I know WWF's hot at this point anyway, but if they're not available in all homes, you guys are kind of behind the eight ball going in.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, what could you do to combat that? It's just that Vince has just that stronghold over the pay-per-view because he kind of invented the market?
Yeah, you can't do anything about it. If he says, well, if you take me off, don't worry about it. I'll find some other service to put me on. Would you take that chance?
Right, you can't. Yep. And just another little side note, which is really interesting. If the pay-per-view provider, Vince basically kind of put a little stronghold on him. He said, if you guys don't all carry Survivor Series 87, next year when WrestleMania 4 comes around, we don't want you, we won't have WrestleMania 4 for you guys. So, you know, you're going to lose that on a ton of money. So, you know, Vince obviously playing a little hardball there, kind of saying you better carry Survivor Series and all my shows going forward, because then you're going to lose out on WrestleMania if you don't.
Pretty easy to figure that one out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely smart business strategy by Vince, obviously. Strong arming them, but smart strategy for sure.
Yeah.
Just another little note. Michael Hayes had Eddie Gilbert pinned and finished with the sunset flip in this match, and it just ended with a time limit draw. So they were kind of teasing that Hayes, Garvin, and Sting were going to get the win here, but all for naught. Sting, you know, this is his first pay-per-view here, and obviously, you know, this is the NWA's first, but, I mean, this is really Sting's first kind of coming out party. Did you see him at first and think, oh, this guy's going to be a main eventer? Like, what did you think about him at this point?
Yeah, he just had it.
Because pretty much right after this, he starts feuding with Flair. I mean, it's pretty much after the show and heading into Clash of the Champions 1, which is going to happen a few months down the road. But he's going to start feuding with Flair already. I mean, that's just something that Dusty saw immediately. Like, okay, this guy's got something.
I think so. Didn't they go 56 minutes?
Flair, yeah. 45-minute time limit draw, him and Flair, yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great carry job, but obviously Sting has to be, you know, over, and he's got to be there too. But yes, great match. Put Sting on the map.
It made Sting.
Yep. It definitely put him on the map. It's just interesting to think, like, okay, he's there, he's in the opening match. You know, he's kind of fresh off UWF, and basically, boom, a few months later, he's going to be main eventing.
Yep. Did an amazing job.
So then next up, we have Dr. Death Steve Williams defending his UWF Heavyweight Championship. He's going to defeat Barry Windham in 7 minutes here with the Oklahoma Roll, and he retains his UWF title. It's odd that this wasn't as great of a match. It seemed, I don't know, something a little off here, considering how good both of these guys are, but just not a great match here. But what do you think about Dr. Death going over Barry Windham?
Well, he's the UWF champion. They weren't sure what they were going to do, so they took the easy way out.
Do you like having the UWF? I know we're talking about championship, but do you like them immediately putting the UWF title on the line on the pay-per-view? A lot of people probably weren't even familiar with what the UWF was at this point.
I think they were trying to jam something over. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
The next match, the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson defeated the Midnight Express, Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane with Big Bubba Rogers, with Jimmy Cornette in a Skywalkers match that went about 10 minutes and 30 seconds. Of course, Skywalker match is another word for the scaffold match. Actually, a pretty good match considering, but what do you think here of a scaffold match with the Rock and Roll Express going over the Midnights?
I think it took away from their ability to have a great match. Isn't that where Jimmy blew his knees out?
No, that was the Starrcade before. I think that was the 86 Starrcade when he blows his knees out. This one, he doesn't go over there. I don't think, as far as my remembering, I don't think. I think that was the year before. But when you look at though, what do you mean? Like it takes away from their ability. Like, do you mean the scaffold and the gimmick takes away from like their actual wrestling ability and them going in there and having just a regular good old fashioned great tag team match?
Right. Right. I mean, I remember Bobby crawling around, right?
Yep. It's not one of those matches where you could really bump. You know what I mean? You can't really bump.
Right.
I don't know. To me, in a way, it kind of takes away from the Midnights or even the Rock and Roll here. It's a great spectacle, and maybe, you know, it looks good on the poster, so to speak. I know you love that, but I feel like it definitely kind of takes away from what the guys can do.
Oh, without question, it did.
And with Cornette getting injured previously, I mean, it kind of shows – it's not one of those matches that might be the safest, technically.
Right.
Have you ever been in a scaffold match?
No.
Is that on purpose?
Yep.
Are you afraid of heights?
No, but I don't want to drop down on my knees. Not height.
Remember that old expression, I'm not afraid of heights, but I am afraid of falling.
Yeah.
So the Rock and Roll do get the win here. Big Bubba Rogers, of course, you know, another UWF guy, so to speak. I mean, he's from the lineage of the UWF. So they've always kind of been getting guys from UWF, but now they're really kind of making a name for it and really kind of, I don't know, mentioning a lot, getting it over. But to me as a fan, and especially if you're a young fan and didn't know much and you're a JCP fan, you're probably confused on what the heck these UWF titles even are.
Yeah, you definitely are. That's why I think they're trying to jam it over.
The Skywalker's match, just to put a button on that, though, do you think that's just one of the things where you're just trying to almost just get like they do for TLC for years? You just throw it out there. It's like this gimmick match, and you just hope to get some extra buys just for maybe some casuals that are like, wow, what the hell is a Skywalker's match? That sounds crazy.
That's the line of thinking I think they had.
It is an interesting kind of concept. I know they've been doing it forever. I think what was the first one in the 70s in Memphis, right? Wasn't Jerry Jarrett actually in one of the first scaffold matches in the 70s? Just such an interesting gimmick. And I know ECW kind of made it famous and maybe even made it a little bit more dangerous. But it's one of those matches where I don't know if the end game is quite what you want it to be. You know, it's not going to be maybe the safest.
No.
So then we have another UWF title match. This time it's NWA TV title versus UWF TV title. It's going to be a unification match for both of those world television titles. Nikita Koloff defeats Terry Taylor. So Nikita's the NWA TV champion. Terry Taylor's UWF TV champion. Terry Taylor was, of course, with Eddie Gilbert as well. But Nikita Koloff beats Terry Taylor in 19 minutes. Okay match. Kind of should have, but should have probably been better. But now he is the unified NWA and UWF television champion. What do you think about the unification of here after the Russian sickle?
I think it was pretty obvious who they were pushing, you know. Nikita had been a big draw for them. So I think they did the right thing.
Do you like them absorbing the titles, recognizing the title, and then just saying, oh, we're just going to unify and make it one champion? Or should they have just pretended that the UWF TV title didn't exist and just had it be a TV title with Nikita's on the line?
I think they were doing this to try to get fans from UWF area to tune in too.
What do you think about Terry Taylor? We haven't really talked about him much other than like WCW booking and stuff and kind of joking around with him, how he kind of takes credit for more stuff than maybe should have. But what do you think about him as the competitor, as the wrestler here?
I think he's very good. Very good technically. Very smart guy.
Obviously, you know, a year or so later, maybe less than a year later, he ends up going to WWF as the Red Rooster. Do you think that kind of saddled him and kind of ruined him a little bit, given him that he was such a good wrestler and had all his ability? They're giving him the Red Rooster gimmick.
I don't think we'd be bringing it up if we didn't think that.
Can some guys get over the horrible gimmicks and some guys can't, or is it that one of those gimmicks nobody can get over that?
That's a hard one to get over. Exactly. You know, too hard to get over that.
So then the next match is an NWA tag team title match. Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard with J.J. Dillon, who are the NWA tag team champions. They defeated Hawk and Animal, the Road Warriors, with Paul Ellering via DQ in 13 minutes and 30 seconds. Pretty good match here. They do actually tease the fact that you know, with the ref bump with Tommy Young and then Earl Hebner, who actually was NWA bound, or was NWA first, and obviously Dave Hebner was WWF, they kind of almost teased that Arn and Tully were going to, you know, win and they're going to count the pin. But the original referee, Tommy Young, comes in, reverses the decision. The Road Warriors get DQ'd for throwing Arn over the top rope. So Arn and Tully retain the tag team titles. What do you think about that? Is that too much of maybe of a dusty finish, convoluted finish? The one team wins and the other ref comes back in. And do you like that?
Yeah, I think it's so convoluted.
What do you think about that dusty finish, though, just in general? Do you hate it? Do you like it? Do you just want to use it once in a while, use it in the right spot? Or what do you think about it?
couple of times a year you could do it. Not, it got to be patents. You know, you knew when the finish was coming, if they weren't sure what they were going to do in a title match, that was going to be involved.
How would you have booked it differently? I mean, would you have Arn and Tully go over in a different way, or would you like this DQ finish?
I'd like Arn and Tully to go over.
By pinfall?
Yeah, because it is the NWA, and they're going to absorb the UWF, correct?
Mm-hmm. But the Roadies here, I mean, this is just an NWA tag title match. The Roadies are there. They're NWA guys through and through. Do you want to just keep them strong no matter what? Because that's what they're kind of going for here, trying to keep them strong and trying to make Arn and Tully look like chicken shit heels.
Yeah, but still, whose work rate was better?
Oh, Arn and Tully, for sure.
Okay.
So basically, there's another way for Road Warriors to lose without it being this DQ thing.
Right, right.
Are you a fan of the double referee stuff? Does that bother you?
Yeah. Because it just convolutes the whole thing. You give it to people, then you take it back. I hate that.
Is what's like the psychology behind that? That people want to see them win it so bad, they're going to keep tuning in the next time to hopefully see the Road Warriors to get the tag titles?
I guess so. To me, why don't you just do what you want to do rather than have interference on that? And I'm not saying never use it, but don't fall into a pattern where it starts off, well, there'll be a referee bump. You know.
Yep.
Look at the history. Didn't AWA kill it with Hogan?
Oh God, with the Bockwinkel stuff. He wins it, then he didn't win it. Yep.
Yeah.
Big time. Big mistake. Big mistake, Chico. So then we have a United States Championship match. So it's interesting. Back to back. It's a double main event here. Back-to-back steel cage matches. So Dusty Rhodes defeats the United States heavyweight champion Lex Luger with J.J. Dillon in about 16 minutes and 30 seconds to win the NWA United States Championship. What do you think here, Dusty, in the co-main event beating Lex Luger for the U.S. title?
He's your number one babyface. It's a big pay-per-view. He needs to go over.
Johnny Weaver, just a little side note here, he held the key to the cage so nobody could get in. If Dusty Rhodes had lost, he'd be suspended for 90 days. So they're trying to stack the deck against him. J.J. Dillon does try to cheat, does try to attempt to unlock the door and get in the cage. Dusty kind of throws Luger at the door, hits J.J., there's actually a chair that JJ had thrown in to the ring. Luger attempts to pick it up, but then Dusty nails the DDT on the chair, and Dusty gets the win, you know, gets the 1-2-3 and wins the match and wins the U.S. title. So the cheating of JJ and Lex Luger, obviously the four horsemen here, all for naught, as they tease a victory for Luger via cheating, and Dusty uses the chair and wins. So Dusty kind of doing something underhanded, but thwarting Luger and J.J. Dillon.
Yeah, and the people pop because he's Dusty Rhodes.
Yep. And it was a little bit different, too, because it's like, oh, you want to cheat? I'll cheat, too. It was almost like they were happy he cheated. Kind of. Do you like him being U.S. champion, and do you like him in the co-main event in 1987?
Both. He's the guy that brought you to the dance. You know, you got to be very careful with some people, and Dusty is one of them.
What do you think about Luger and the Four Horsemen? Do you like that?
Yeah, because he fit.
And you could tell, too, he's going to be like like we were talking about, Sting's going to be the next guy. If Sting's number one, he's 1A. Like, right? I mean, you could tell Luger's going to be a top guy.
Right.
And you're grooming him, right? I mean, that's why he's in the Horseman. He's being groomed to be a top guy, correct?
Yeah. And the other thing is, he's losing, but he's not losing. He just got outsmarted by the American Dream, which the people happy.
And then the main event of the evening, another steel cage match for the NWA World Heavyweight title. Ric Flair with J.J. Dillon defeats Hands of Stone Ron Garvin to win back his NWA World title in 17 minutes, 30 seconds. Pretty damn good match here from these two. Basically performs a diving cross body. Flair kind of counters it with the atomic drop. Then Flair reverses the Irish whip, sends Ronnie Garvin headfirst into the steel cage, and ends up rolling him up and pinning him to win back the world title. Great kind of back and forth, stiff as hell, chop fest. You know, you name it from these two. Great match. What do you think here, though? Very obvious Flair's going to win it back. It seems, you know, like a very predictable outcome.
Yeah, it's a predictable outcome.
Is that okay in this situation?
Yeah, I think so, because people thought Ronnie winning it was a fluke.
And that's not a good thing, right? I mean, that's not a good fluke.
Not a good fluke, but they had a great match. And they knew where they were going to get it back on Flair. So they had an incredible match. So no matter who Rick wrestled the next time, he's going in there, busted up. It's sound booking.
So Luger is no longer U.S. champion, but the Arn and Tully of the Horsemen are the tag champs. Flair's back to world champ. Seems like the Horsemen are very strong. The Road Warriors are going to continue their feud with them. Dusty's going to continue the feud with them. Sting is going to continue the feud with them. So it does seem like you guys are kind of set up, headed into 1988, set up for some future pretty good feuds here and some pretty good matchups.
Yeah, I think so too.
Another good one, Ronnie Garvin and his brother, quote unquote, Jimmy Garvin, are going to end up feuding with you, basically. So that's going to be a part of headed into 1988 as well.
Right.
And you love those guys, right? And you love feuding with those guys.
They were great.
It is interesting to note that Garvin always kind of says that he didn't really particularly get along Flair or like Flair, and that even though he was NWA champion, he wasn't really a big fan of Dusty or his booking. That kind of surprised you?
Yeah.
Right? The guy made you champ and you're not happy. It's kind of interesting, right?
It's very interesting.
Kind of reminds me a little bit of Lance Storm with your buddy Vince Russo. Russo gave him three titles, booked him to the moon, and he does nothing but complain about how he booked him. Weird stuff sometimes.
People see things differently.
No doubt about it. So UWF is gone and closed basically towards the end of the year. Maybe the biggest acquisition that the NWA Jim Crockett made, Jim Ross joins the announced team and becomes the lead guy, along with obviously Crockett, David Crockett and Tony Schiavone as well. But is that maybe the biggest signing of UWF? Jim Ross, the greatest announcer of all time.
Yeah. I wouldn't say Jim's the greatest announcer of all time. I'd say he's 1B. 1A is Gordon Solie.
Oh, your boy Gordon. Yes, I can see that. Yep, no argument there for sure. Great pickup, obviously, Sting and Dr. Death and all these other guys. But Jim Ross, obviously, was a nice little signing as well. Part of the signing.
Great signing.
What did you think overall of Chi-Town Heat? Do you liking this? Or were you not liking some of the booking? Were you okay with the direction?
In the middle.
So basically here, we're headed towards Flair Sting. The Road Warriors are still on top, and we're headed towards Kevin Sullivan versus the Garvin boys. So I feel like we're headed in a good direction, but I don't know. Is Dusty the right guy? Because it seems like slowly but surely the fans are starting to turn on him a little bit when 88 comes around.
Yeah, but Jimmy loved Dusty. So he didn't see anything wrong.
So basically, NWA gets destroyed that night by Survivor Series as expected, and Vince was going to kind of continue his dominance, and then Crockett is kind of making these moves to buy UWF, buy Florida, and but slowly but surely, and as we get towards the end of 88, Ted Turner is going to end up buying him. So seems like a lot of his decisions that he was making were maybe not for the best. They did not turn out the way he had liked. So let's hit the plugs. You follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. Follow Kevin at Testmaster Talks on Instagram. And, of course, you could follow along with us always if you head over to Spreaker and follow Taskmaster Talks. So thank you, everybody, out there for listening. See you right back here next week. Have a good one, folks.
Thank you.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPT Empire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother. College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown. Mm-hmm.
We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Okay, the Bunkhouse Stampede, and here he is. The NWA World Heavyweight Champion, Ron Garvin. And Ron, I know you're the type of offensive wrestler. Even though you're the champion in Starrcade, you're going to take the fight right
to
Ric Flair.
The way I wrestle to win, always have. What I don't like is Ric Flair coming out here calling these people idiots. Well, it goes to show you how much respect he has for people. Anybody that likes Ric Flair is an idiot. Because he don't care about anybody but himself. And I'm going to tell you about that gold spoon. Well, you better take it out of your mouth before you wrestle me, because I'm going to shove it so far down your throat, you'll never know what happened to you. I'm going to tell you something. It's Starrcade. You're talking about you're going to win the title for number 5. Well, I got news for you. You're talking about me wearing jeans, the world's heavyweight champion. 180 million people wear jeans in this country. And I'm going to tell you, when you are the world's champion, you are the best. So that makes me the best. And when you are the best, you wear whatever you want. And I like jeans, and I like my pickup truck, and I'm going to keep driving the pickup truck and keep on wearing jeans. And when I step in a ring at Starrcade, which it ain't very far away, we're talking about a cage match. Well, in a cage match, you do as you please. You're saying you're the 60-minute man. 60-minute man. Well, I'm going to tell you, in Detroit, you lasted 41 minutes. That was your limit. That makes you a liar. You don't last 60 minutes with Ronnie Garvin. And at Starrcade, you're not going to be a 60-minute man. You're going to be about a 30-minute man when I get done with you, because I'm going to shove this down your throat, put you out of your misery, and then the next time you come out here, you're going to tell this whole country that they repossessed your mountain, your big house, your limousine, your Mercedes. They repossessed it all, because I'm going to tell you, without this, you cannot keep up your lifestyle, and I'm going to make sure that you don't.
The world champion, Ronnie Garvin. Let's go back to the ring.